This is the Mexico Week in Review radio report for the week of February the 27th, 2005.
This report is a project of the Washington, D.C.-based Committee of Indigenous Solidarity.
And now, Teresita Jacinto.
The Associated Press reports that a former state legislator has been arrested on suspicion of involvement in the paramilitary slayings of supporters of the Zapatista movement, Chiapas state officials announced. The state prosecutor's office said in a bulletin that Samuel Sanchez, a founder of the group known as Peace and Justice, was detained on February 15th and placed under house arrest. It also said that former state and local officials were under investigation for having financed Peace and Justice or for having failed to follow through on earlier prosecutions of Sanchez. Chief Prosecutor Mariano Herran told the Televisa network that Sanchez had been involved in at least 7 or 8 killings, but said efforts to prosecute him had been delayed by the disappearance of investigators' files in his case under an earlier state administration. Peace and Justice, allied with the Institutional Revolutionary Party, or PRI, was created in 1995 to confront the revolt of the Zapatista National Liberation Army. That year earlier, with activists in 121 communities, it was linked to bloody acts perpetrated against leftist militants in the region, according to the state bulletin. While the group claimed to be a rural development organization, Zapatista supporters have long accused Peace and Justice, or Paz y Justicia, of being a paramilitary group sponsored by state and federal PRI authorities at the time. The PRI lost power both at the state and federal level in the year 2000. The Chiapas state authority now confirm the earlier allegations. Reuters reports that the family of a prominent Mexican human rights lawyer found dead with bullet wounds in 2001 won an appeal that will allow investigations over her death to resume more than a year after prosecutors ruled she had committed suicide. Activist Digna Ochoa, who won the international awards for exposing human rights abuses by police and the military, was found dead in her Mexico City office with bullet wounds to her head and leg. In July 2003, prosecutors investigating Ochoa's case ruled she had killed herself and that she suffered from emotional distress. But fellow activists and relatives said the investigation was flawed and that Ochoa was murdered because of her involvement in high-profile cases she worked on. We are happy with the appeal, more than a year after the case closed with a suicide ruling, her brother Jesus Ochoa told Reuters on Friday. Ochoa, a 38-year-old former nun, received several death threats during her years as a human rights lawyer. Mexico City's attorney general said prosecutors would look into the judge's decision and that if they had to repeat procedures, they would comply immediately. The Ochoa family attorney, Jose Antonio Becerril, said that once the case reopens, he will seek to revert the suicide ruling. Reuters reports that Mexican drug gangs are forcing indigenous tribes to abandon their traditional crops and grow marijuana and heroin poppies, according to a recently released study. The report on Mexico's National Anthropology and History Institute said armed drug gangs were driving communities of Tarahumara, Guarijillo, and Pima Indians to give up their age-old way of life in the mountains of Sonora and Chihuahua State. More than 50,000 members of the tribes have lived in caves and log cabins in remote canyons in the western Sierra Madre mountain range in the area for millennia, surviving on subsistence corn crops. They mix Roman Catholic rites with traditional beliefs in sun and moon deities and chew hallucinogenic peyote buttons to perform an ancient dance to cure the sick. Researchers said drug gangs from neighboring Sinaloa State are entering the remote region and forcing the native villagers to stop growing traditional corn in favor of marijuana and heroin. These three groups have been forced to abandon their traditional crops by the drug traffickers, and it is having a great impact on their way of life, anthropologist Alejandro Aguilar told Reuters in a telephone interview from Sonora. While some elders are trying to conserve traditional festivals linked to the maize harvest, the arrival of these groups from Sinaloa brings Western clothes, cassette recorders, pistols, and the consumption of alcohol. Aguilar said that the drug gangs had also intimidated some Indian communities into dropping traditional Holy Week Catholic Church rites to worship Jesus Malverde, the patron saint of the drug runners. The elements from Sinaloa are asking them to venerate the image of Malverde, the patron saint of the narcos, who is not recognized by the Catholic Church. Sinaloa is the cradle of the Mexican drug trade, where Chinese migrants first came in the 19th century to grow heroin poppies to make opiate-based painkillers for sale in the United States. Since then, local drug gangs have continued to cultivate heroin and marijuana to smuggle north over the border and have transported tons of contraband cocaine for Colombia cartels. This story on the Immokalee, Florida workers from the Washington Post in three parts. Part 1. Para los campesinos de Immokalee, Florida, la mejor parte del día es a las 4 de la mañana, cuando se reúnen en la oscuridad a tomarse un café caliente con pan en un edificio del pueblo. Minutos después, cienes, la mayoría de ellos hombres, se van al callejón del parqueo a esperar los jefes que los recogen para trabajar en el tomate. Con suerte, los campesinos pasan 12 horas de rodillas, llenando tinas de tomate por 40 centavos cada una. Para ganarse $50, hay que darse prisa a piscar 125 cajones de tomate a 32 libras, o sean, de 2 toneladas de tomate. Si la traen de malas y llueve, los trabajadores se regresan al callejón. Después de 12 horas, se van con las manos vacías. Esta es nuestra palabra. This is our word.
That was the Mexico Week in Review radio report, a service by and for those actively supporting the struggles of the indigenous peoples of Mexico while combating related oppression within their own communities. For information about the Committee of Indigenous Solidarity and its Mexico Week in Review newsletter, send email to cisdc@zzapp.org.